Shavua Tov, Adat Tavach. Thank you very much, Mishpachat Son, for allowing me to have the opportunity to learn again Shabbat Shula, to continue Shabbat Shula with the very special women of Mishkafayim and our special Chabura Mevakshei Emes. What I'd like to do in the next half hour or so, maybe a little bit more, is to first ask some very basic questions in terms of the Rambam's placement of Hilchos Tshuva, then try to develop a theme that I think is important in the way in which we look at Hilchos Tshuva, and see how it could be relevant coming towards Yom HaKippurim, the Siyata Lishmaya. As many of you know, the Rambam, in his magnum opus, Mishnah Torah, has 14 different books that it's divided into. And essentially the first book is called Sefer Mada. Sefer HaMada, has inside of it the fundamentals of Judaism. That's the first book that the Rambam starts off with in Mishnah Torah. And there are five parts, most of which make a lot of sense. So, for example, you have in the Rambam Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. Mada, as all you need to know for the fundamentals of Judaism, Yisodei HaTorah makes sense. Yisodei HaTorah has in it belief of God, how the Masorah developed from Har Sinai to this day. So that makes sense. The Rambam also has Hilchos Talmud Torah. That also makes sense. Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam. The Rambam has Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos are about Midos, essential characteristics of how we're supposed to act. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, for sure that's a foundation. The next one, you might not have thought of, but makes a lot of sense, and that is Hilchos Avodah Zarah. In order to understand what monotheism is, one has to understand what idol worship is. And the Rambam starts from the beginning of history, from Avraham Avinu, how Avraham Avinu came to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of that seems to make sense. And the last one, and that's our first question for our Shuvah Drasha, is Hilchos Tshuva. Now, why is Hilchos Tshuva one of the foundations of Avodas Hashem? Now, I understand Tshuva is a real important mitzvah, but I could find you other important mitzvahs that don't appear in Sefer Amada. For example, the next Sefer, Ava, has Kriya Shema, Tfila. Tfila is the source of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's clearly also a form of foundation, but the Rambam doesn't put in Sefer Amada. There's something unique about Tshuva that is absolutely central to our being as Jews. And that's going to be our inspiration towards Yom HaKippurim. What is it that's so essential in terms of tshuva that relates to our entire identity, that's mamish the foundation of our Avodas Hashem? Question number two. Question number two. Is that the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva doesn't only talk about Tshuva. The Rambam in Perek Hei introduces an important theological concept. The Rambam says that when it comes to the way in which we look at the world, we have to keep in mind, Rishus l'kol adam nisuna, emrotza lahatois atzma l'derech toivav liyos tzadik rishus biyadai. If a person wants, they could choose to be a tzaddik. Vimrotza lahatzais atzmai l'derech rav liyos rasha rishus biyado. The Rambam emphasizes a very important concept, and that is man's ability and woman's ability to choose at every single moment of their life. There's always a moment of bechira. What we're going to do the next moment, we choose. Now that's very important. But why does the Rambam feel the need to put that in Hilchos Tshuva, as opposed to other places? Why didn't he put in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah? Why is Bechira so important in terms of understanding Tshuva Even though when it comes to Bechira, Bechira is part of every mitzvah. We could choose whether to daven or not to daven. Yet the Rambam feels the need to put Bechira in Hilchos Tshuva. Question number three is about another perek. A perek that's often forgotten. In the yeshivas and seminaries, when one learns Hilchos Tshuva, generally what one learns is the first two parakim. The first two parakim famously describe the whole process of Tshuva, Charat ala Avar, regret, Kabbalah ala Asid, a new acceptance for the future. The Rambam there is very strong about the importance of vidui, actually expressing what one's averos were. And then the Rambam begins Perek Zayin, and he says, Ha'wil u'rishus nesuna l'chol adam. Since people have choice, the Rambam then goes on and says, you should realize that there's nothing dearer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Tshuva. And the Rambam describes, no matter what we were in the past, a person who is a Baal Tshuva becomes, and is an awesome word, only the Rambam could use this word, the Rambam says the individual becomes a Yedid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's such a beautiful word, a Yedid. That's how the Rambam describes in Perek Zayin. And in Perek Zayin, the Rambam emphasizes something that's absolutely fundamental, but also is going to bring us to our third question. And the Rambam says, Al Toimar, She'ein Tshuva Ela Me'avera She'esh Ben Maisa. Don't think that Tshuva only applies to Averos that have actions. Kegon Znus, V'gezel U'gneva, inappropriate relations and stealing money. El Kishem She'tzarech Adam Loshuv Me'elu, The Rambam emphasizes that tshuva is not only about actions, but tshuva is also about deos. Deos the Rambam describes as midos that a person has. If a person is prone to anger, if a person is prone to jealousy, if a person is drawn to olam hazeh, to materialism, the Rambam says we have to do tshuva on all those things as well. That's an important thing to keep in mind. It's interesting, when the Rambam introduced Bechira, and he says, since we have Bechira, don't forget that Tshuva is not only about the things that we say in the Al-Chet. By the way, notice that almost everything we speak about in the Al-Chet, that we're going to be Zocha to do it 3 days from now, I say Zchus because it is a moment not of pain, it's a moment of exhilaration, that we become pure. My Bubba, my great-grandmother was killed al Kiddush Hashem by the Nazis. She used to stand all of Yom HaKippurim. There were people once upon a time who were angels on Yom Kippur. And you and I are going to have that opportunity. Such a special opportunity. Such a special opportunity. You know, they say a mashal that there was once someone who was walking along the street and they had no idea. They found this coin which was actually from hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And they saw this coin, but it was really a gold coin that would sell on eBay for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They saw this coin, they had no idea. The individual picks it up, and he walks by a soda machine, and he says, you know what, let me try, put it in. See if I can get a soda out of it. Sure enough, he put it in, and he gets the soda. Rabosai, Yom HaKippurim is this gold coin. And every single one of us here in Mirtz Hashem will have kapara on Yom HaKippur. But realize that we're not only looking for kapara. There's something that we're going to develop today that we're looking for that's more. Something a lot more. Don't waste that gold coin. Don't sell it for cheap. Don't sell it for cheap. There's so much that we can get from it. And the third question, therefore, is setting up the third question, that the Rambam over here in Halacha Gimel tells us that it's not just about the Maisin, but it's also about our Midos. And our Midos also, we have a mitzvah to work on, those things that we need to work on. Question number three is, the Rambam over here in Perek Zayin makes no mention, absolutely no mention of Vidui. Yet in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, the Rambam clearly starts out, mitzvah saseh of tshuva is to do vidui on our averos. So question number three is, why does the Rambam not mention vidui when it comes to the tikkun hamidos? No mention of vidui whatsoever. And in fact, if you look through the Al-Chetz, you almost won't find anything in the Al-Chetz that talk about my midos. It only speaks about our actions, which fits in well with the Rambam, but it begs the question, why is there no vidui? So we have three questions, three technical questions, important questions that we're going to see the what the Avodas Hashem that comes out from those questions are. Number one, why does the Rambam put in Sefer Amada Tshuva, that he says Tshuva is a foundation of Jewish belief? Question number two, why does the Rambam put Bechira into Hilchos Tshuva? Bechira is something that applies to all mitzvahs. Just like you choose whether to do tshuva, you also choose whether to say Kriya Shema as well. Question number three is, why is it that in Perek Zayin, the Rambam makes no mention of vidui? Where the Rambam describes becoming a yedid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there the Rambam makes no mention of the vidui, and the Rambam speaks about the tikkun hamidos that turn a person into a yedid, but no mention of vidui. Let me ask a strange question. Actually relates to women's beauty or care, but it starts off in a very, very different place. Almost the antithesis of women's care. It's 1920, 1925. You live in America, and most young men and young women who live in America don't have a lot. We are spoiled. I want to tell you something that some of you might not know. Do you know that most of the boxing heroes in the United States in the 20s and 30s were Jews? It's very interesting. Generally, the immigrant populations are the ones that have the most successful boxers. So in the 20s and 30s, there was a lot of boxing that was going on the Lower East Side. Now it's African Americans and Hispanics. Immigrants are the ones who fight their way to the top. So your brother comes home and he tells his parents and tells you that he's going to become a boxer to help support things at home. Is that mutter or usser al pi halacha? What's the shayla? Well, there's a halacha that says that you're not allowed to hit somebody. That means that Reuven is not allowed to cause hezek to Shimon. And often there were Jewish boxers that were fighting against each other. But they were happy to do it. They were happy to get wounded for the sake of making prize money and help their family out. The technical shayla over here, which I think is going to tell us a lot, is that mutter or usser to do? Before I take your thoughts, that's far away from home, that's 1925. You know somebody, a woman, who wants to go for plastic surgery. Plastic surgery is chavala. That means that one is getting wounded. Now, chavala is prohibited for a Jew to do to somebody else. Would it be permissible for a woman to go for plastic surgery? At the end of the day, she's allowing herself to get wounded. Could she be mochel the doctor? The boxers sign a waiver. They're mochel. That's the question. Thoughts? Mutter, usser, boxing, cosmetic surgery? Anything? Yeah, go ahead. In the long run, it's l'toelis, and therefore it's mutter, right? Lashon hara l'toelis at times is mutter. Chazer l'toelis is aser, right? By the way, I told students, I was taken aback, I realized, Rabbi Son, I don't know if you've had this experience, I realized there's something that a lot of young men and young women don't know, and that is that I said to the boys, do you know that it's a straight up halacha, this is not a chumrah, that if you were faced for an Isser, everybody knows, let me start telling you what they do know. Everybody knows that you have to give up your life for the big three. And all the other averos, you violate them in order to continue living. That everybody knows. What's halacha if someone says, violate any isra of the Torah or give up all of your money? Halacha is, it's a pasuk, we say in Krishna, uvechol me'odecha. This is not a chumrah. This is not some chumrah that started in Hungary somewhere. It's a straight up halacha in Shulchan Aruch that we have to give everything we have so as not to violate one isra in the Torah. So, for chazer treif, right, l'toeles, we would have to give up everything, become absolute paupers. So that l'toeles, it doesn't work. So the question is, you're right, but the question is, how do we formulate why l'toeles would be permissible? So, there is an amazing line that the Bala Tanya has in regards to the case of one's body, that I think is going to take us to a very, very profound place in tshuva that might open up understanding what the Omek of tshuva is and what the message that I want to share with you going into Yom HaKippur and answer the above questions. The Bala Tanya says as follows. He says, Eino yacholim chol, he writes this in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in Hilchos Shmiras HaNefesh. The Bala Tanya says, Eino yacholim chol, hoyil Vahaguf Einoi Sheloi Klal. The Bala Tanya says that we are living in illusion. And this is the Musar for tonight. We are living in an illusion. We think that we're in control of our bodies. So we own our bodies. And says the Bala Tanya, the halacha is you can't be mochel on chavala, because your body doesn't belong to you. Your body is not yours. I'm sure if you're a thinking woman, you've spent some time thinking about the tremendous clash between Western society's look of approach to abortion and the Torah's perspective of abortion. When I was a teenager and when I thought about it, so I thought that what it was a struggle about the definition of life. In other words, the Torah says that there's a life in utero as well, and secular society denies that there's a life, and therefore they're able to justify abortion. But it seems to me that there's something much more fundamental that's at play. And what's much more fundamental at play is take the slogan that is used in Western society, and if you think about it, it's not only related to abortion, Hashem Yirachem, but applies to so many other areas of life, and in many ways this is the clash between Western society, Western values that disagree with Torah. And that is, the expression is, it's my body and therefore it's my choice. When we say in Slichos, and we're going to say it in Yom Kippur together, those beautiful, beautiful lines that the Katz brothers turned into such a beautiful song. Hanisham Allah v'haguf pa'alach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made the neshama and you made the guf. What we're doing is reminding ourselves that what we are is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a lease on our bodies, and he's put a neshama that ultimately connects us to something that's above and greater. And even when the body is working less, and even when the body is working more, at the end of the day, it's a kli for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's neshama. HaNeshama lach v'aguf palach. And the clash that we have with Western society is not that subtle point that I thought as a teenager, it's the definition of life. No, 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 there's something much more profound. And what that is that at the end of the day, our bodies are on lease from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if one has that understanding, of course, then it will be prohibited to box. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, as you paskin over there, and Rav Moshe said that the halacha is that the reason why plastic surgery, obviously a shayla should be asked, plastic surgery is permissible, is because the Rambam says that chavala is prohibited derech nitzayon, in a manner of fighting. So it seemed to me that boxing is derech nitzayon, and therefore one would not be able to be mochel. But, Rav Moshe says, when it comes to plastic surgery, that's not derech nitzayon, and that's how we could use your idea of l'toeles, that it's not considered derech nitzayon, and therefore not in the in the rubric of Chavala. So that is the Yisod of HaNesham Malach. V'aguf Palach. By the way, notice, we say it twice. HaNesham Malach v'aguf Palach. Chusa ala Malach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Neshama is yours. You made our bodies. Have Rachmanos. You created us. Have Rachmanos. And then we repeat it again. HaNesham Malach v'aguf HaNesham Malach v'aguf Shelach. Hashem asei leman shemecha. Here we don't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you fashion the guf, but we say something more. We say v'haguf shelach. We recognize that the body belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we cryptically say asei leman shemecha. I want to understand that a little bit more. What's that double lashon? We say it twice. For years and years and years, I said it twice, and it sounded nice, and of course, the Katzes put it into a beautiful song. Great. But just this year, as I was zocha to learn with my Talmidim, and to think, wait a second, what's this double lashon? What is the repetition? First we say, HaNesham Alach v'haguf palach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, and then we say something else, HaNesham Alach v'haguf shalach, and then we don't say, Asanu l'man shemecha, Asanu, have Rachmanos on us, but rather we say, Hashem asei l'man shemecha, Hashem, do it for your name. So what's that double lashon? When we would share with most teenagers in the United States this idea that at the end of the day, if you're honest, God created the world, we have a Torah Misinai, which is the ultimate system of morality, they would say, you know what? You're right, I've got to listen to what the Torah says. The Torah says that my body doesn't belong to me, and therefore, if it's a young married woman, she can't have an abortion. If it's a young man, that tattoos are stylish, he can't get a tattoo. I realize, but I would like to suggest to you tonight that that's not how to read the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. That's not what the words HaNesham Alach V'Haguf Shalach mean. Something much, much more. Most people go through life and they look at Torah and mitzvahs as something that they have to do. Because at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's right, and at the end of the day, He's the all-powerful. We are not, if we're honest. But it could be that there's something a lot, lot more. It could very well be that this lesson is actually not something that's limiting, that we have to do, but is actually the most exhilarating part of our existence. Take an average girl. She went to elementary school. Here, let's use these lines over here. She went to elementary school. She went to Yeshiva Flatbush. Then she goes to Central. Then she goes to Stern. Then she makes Aliyah. And then she's living in Ramat Beit Shemesh. She has a beautiful family. Pretty soon, her kids are going to be teenagers. And then she's going to become a grandmother. She's going to get older. And that's the cycle of life. Adam Yisodo Me'afar V'Sofo Lafar. And that's a beautiful life. She's going to have a beautiful family. And when the time comes, Acha Meir V'Esrim, she's going to have a beautiful family surrounding her that's going to put her back into the ground. Chazal say we start from a small tipa, and then we go back after 120 years. We have to remember that, because that is the cycle of life. Is that all that life is? Is our life a linear line? Yes and no. There are two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of a creator of life, is Elohim. Bereishis bara Elohim es hashamayim es haaretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elohim. He creates us, and we go through a cycle of life, and then at the end, after 120, we pass on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-powerful. And that individual goes through a cycle of life, goes into Yom HaKippurim and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have mercy on me and my children and my family. And that's emes. And the Meiri writes in the Chibur HaTshuva that at the end of the day, whether the person is doing tshuva for the right reasons or the wrong reasons, that individual, every single woman here, is going to be zocha for a kapara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cleanse our sins. If a person comes in and sincere, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the averos that I did, I beg of you to clean them. The word kapara means to cleanse. And every single person here, Be'ezer Hashem, Matzah Yom HaKippurim, is going to have kapara. And then they'll go on to another year. The odds are, the Meiri writes, that we're going to make mistakes again. And then we're going to come to another Yom HaKippurim. Our children are going to be a year older. And then we're again going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and again HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us kapara. That's the timeline of Elohim. That's the person that davens in Slichos and says, HaNeshama Lach V'Haguf Palach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know the Neshama is yours. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you created my body. Asanu L'man Shemecha. HaNeshama Lach V'Haguf Palach, Chusa Ala Malach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have mercy on your creation. I'm just your creation. I'm just trying to do my best. I started off this way. In high school, I made these mistakes. And now I want to be a better person. As a young adult, or yesterday, I made these mistakes. I want to be a better person. And says the Rambam, that person on Yom Kippur, that man or woman, they could say, Eini oso ish, eini oso isha. I'm not that man, I'm not that woman, I'm a different person. And if they really reach the Madrega, says the Rambam, they reach the Madrega of Tshuva Gemura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could testify that those averos, those things that we said that were hurtful to somebody else, those things that were averos, klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Kedusha and Tara and so on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could testify that we won't do them again. Not the same person. They could look in the mirror and they could say, that's me of the past. And that's a tshuva gemura, says the Rambam. But there's another part. It's not Hashamalach v'haguf palach, but it's Hanishamalach v'haguf shalach. The individual who's willing to surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that becomes the most exhilarating part. They recognize that their guf is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. That they're a kli for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kvod shamayim. Rav Yosef Miller, when I was zochet to be with him on Rosh Hashanah, made an amazing, amazing point. And this inspired a lot of what I'm sharing with you tonight. Rav Yosef pointed out that tshuva is not simply you look into the mirror and you say, I'm not that person anymore. That was me before, it's no longer me now. That is the man and the woman who look at their lives as a line. Adam Yisod HaMe'afar V'Sof HaLafar, which is absolutely true. That's the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the relationship of Elohim, God of nature. And that's the individual that we described that comes into Yom HaKippurim and sincerely wants to change. Most of the time we pointed out that change doesn't last. Sometimes it does. Most of the time it doesn't last. And then there's someone else who has a different relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then there's someone else who says, I want to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not b'bchinas Elohim. I want to become part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and become entirely exalted, be above time. Because every single one of us at our core are really above time. Because every single one of us are neshama chelek elokam imal. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not only Elohim. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's other name? Yudkei Vavkei. Hoya Hove V'yia. Rav Yosef suggested that that's how tshuva works. Tshuva is above time. Tshuva, the way in which it works is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, I want to be connected to you. I'm not just simply interested in correcting my ma'asim. I want to elevate my neshama to the point that my guf and my neshama are both exalted. I'm not surrendering to you because that's what I have to do, but I have a she'ifa, an aspiration for tahara, for purity. And there's no moment in Jewish history that captures this like the famous song that all of our children in Yirtzeh Hashem are going to be singing in 9 months from now. Amar Bikiva, Amar Bikiva, Ashrechem Yisrael. Let's think about it. It's such a beautiful song. Amar Bikiva, Ashrechem Yisrael. Lifnei mi'atem mitar mi mitar eschem, avichem sheva shemayim, ma'mikvim mitar es hatmeim, afa kodesh baruch hu mitar es Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, when did Rabbi Akiva say this? Ma'mikvim mitar es hatmeim, just like the mikvah makes us tahar in so many ways, afa kodesh baruch hu mitar es Yisrael. Think about the time Rabbi Akiva said it. I never thought about it, because I always associated it with bonfires and Maron. When did Rabbi Akiva say it? You know when Rabbi Akiva said it? It was after 400 years that every year people would go to the Beis HaMikdash and they would see the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim and they would see that red thread turn to white and everything is gone, everything is destroyed. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim are gone. Everything, Klal Yisrael is tattered. Amar Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's not the maisim, it's not the actions, it's not the Avodah Yom HaKippurim. Ma'mikvah mitaris atmeim af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaris Yisrael. You know who's mitar Klal Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And wherever a Jew goes, wherever he's going to be, whether it's going to be in the barracks, or it's going to be a soldier up north, or whether it's wherever it's going to be, or a rich kid in the five towns, it doesn't matter. Wherever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And that's where you attain tahara. That's where purity is achieved. Ma'mikveh mitaris atmeim af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaris Yisrael. What a chizuk that Rabbi Akiva gave Klal Yisrael. That's Yudkei Vavkei. When a person attaches themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to immerse in that part of you where my neshama and my guf are shelcha. They belong to you. When a person has that she'ifa, then we're no longer in the Rambam of Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, the process of vidui, Charata ala avar kabal ala asid. I'm at this point over here. I regret what took place over here. I'm going to be better in the future. And Rabbo said, you are. You could do it. And you're going to do it. But there's so much more. And what's more is not to simply say, Haneshama lach, Vahaguf palach, Chusa ala malach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu have rachmanas on me. All I want is to be better. But to say something else. The next madrega. And the next madrega is Haneshama malach v'haguf shalach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I recognize that every single part of me is connected to you. Not only that you fashioned me, but every part of me is connected to you. And that, ultimately, I want to be connected to that part of you that's above space and time. If that's so, Rav Yosef pointed out, then when we look in the mirror, what's happening is not that we're saying, I'm at a different place. I'm not the same person because what I did then, 3 years ago, I wouldn't do again. But rather, we become above time. That's not who we are at all. There's no past and there's no future. Einstein proved it. HaYehovah V'yiyah, as a person elevates themselves to being above space and time. And Rabbosai, you are. You are. Every single person over here has generations and generations, grandmothers of grandmothers and grandmothers, all of them who are living with them right now. All the Mesiras Nefesh of all those generations, you are part of. We are above time and space. We get too caught up. The fights between the different schools and between the different this and the different that and all the petty little stuff. No, we're above that. We're above that. Because you know why? We could throw ourselves into that relationship of Yudke Vovke. Every single person here, no matter what their history is. And then what happens is, it's not that the past was erased, Eini Osa Yish, I'm not that person, but rather I'm connected to Kudsha Brichu that's above time and space, and therefore there is no backwards, and there is no forwards. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Siyata Dishmaya, with Rav Yosef's point, is the answer to the above questions. The Rambam in Sefer Mada is giving us the Yisodos in Avodas Hashem. Yisodos in Avodas Hashem, during this period of time, is that there are two ways to look at life. One is to look at life and a relationship with God that's based on Elohim, and then there's another relationship that's based on Yud Kei Vav Kei. The power of tshuva is to raise ourselves above time to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is fundamentals. That's the essence of the two different relationships of Elohim and Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's why the Rambam has to put Bechira in Perek Vav. When it comes to Perek Vav, says the Rambam, Perek Hei, the Rambam says, Rishus L'chol Adam. What does Rishus L'chol Adam mean? It doesn't only mean that we have a choice whether to do something or bad, good or bad. What it means is we become entirely new people every single moment, the moment in which we have a desire to put ourselves to the mikvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's no longer about past and future. Rishus L'chol Adam is the deepest theological point that could be suggested. And that's central to tshuva. Because tshuva is not about saying I'm sorry and rectifying the past. Tshuva is this constant moment where a person is recreating themselves. You could become a different person from moment to moment if you live in HaYehovah V'yiyah. And that's why the Rambam in Perek Zayin says, Ho el rishus l'chol adam nesun elo, since you have Bechira, so then you could become a Yedid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry, this person is fantastic. She's great. She's living a beautiful life. But at the end of the day, could we call that person a Yedid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I don't know. I definitely don't want to be the kategor to say that you can't. But what the Rambam is describing when he describes the Yedid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Perek Zayin, the Rambam is describing someone who's tapped into another Madrega. Not just simply Kapara, Tahara. And Tahara is something that a person could achieve in a moment. Just like someone whose tameh goes into the mikvah and their tahar, so too tshuva is that exact same thing. That exact same thing. And that's why the Rambam in Perek Zayin doesn't have vidui. Vidui is that perspective and that relationship of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's about correcting actions. But in Perek Zayin, the Rambam's not talking about actions. Let's get past that. We're all stuck in the world of Asiya. We're stuck about good things, good actions, and bad actions. Says the Rambam in Perek Zayin, we're not talking about action anymore. We're talking about something else. We're talking about Tahara, to become a Yedid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if you're just going to focus on the actions, you'll get Kapara. But if you want to really be B'mikveh Hashem, then you need something else. You have to deal with the Midos. You have to dig into the Neshama. Sometimes it's hard, but it's definitely worth it. With that perspective that Rav Yosef taught me on Rosh Hashanah, we now have an entirely new way of looking at tshuva. The possibilities
are endless. Because that's what HaYehovah V'yiyah is. HaYehovah V'yiyah is endless. The relationship with Elohim, it's on a time span. Mirtz Hashem, we're already in Tafshin Pei. Time is moving. Time keeps on moving. But you know the key to staying young? The key to staying young is not something that some face cream that somebody is selling. That's not the key to staying young. The key for staying young is beginning to cultivate that relationship with Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. My mother, may she be well. Wrinkles don't bother her. It's a madrega. It's a madrega. It's not easy. But wrinkles don't bother her. Because my mother, probably because she started in that time, she was born in September 1939, and there was so much neshama that was around her during that period of time. My mother lives in a world of neshama. And let's go back to those words. Ha-neshama lach v'ha-guf shalach Hashem aseh l'man shemecha. We're no longer asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu chusa al ha-malach to have rachmanos on us, on our singular identities. And this girl's fantastic, and she's entitled to that rachmanos, and We're definitely davening for her. But now the conclusion is Hashem aseh l'man shemecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I work for your team. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be a kli for Kvod Shemayim. The relationship of HaYehovah V'yiyah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I work for you. I mentioned in the past that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter turned to his Talmidim, it was probably during this time of year, and he says, how could it be you have two people at a hotel? One person is paying a fancy hotel, 5-star hotel, really, really nice place. One person is paying $1,000. The other person is there for free. Yeah, I want to know how that guy got it. So says Rabbi Yisrael, he turns to his Talmidim, he said, tell me, how is it possible? Two guys, same hotel, one's paying $1,000, the other's for free. Talmidim were stumped. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, one person came as a customer. The other one is the hotel's lawyer. The hotel's accountant. They work for the hotel. They get the exact same room and they get the exact same buffet. Who do we work for? Do we work for ourselves? We could get kapara even working for ourselves. And we could work for ourselves and we could be sincere. But then we could do something else. We could want to be above that timeline. And it's most the exhilarating thing. My body, my choice is not just a mistake in terms of theology of life. My body, my choice is a mistake of how to look at our entire existence. Haguf shalach, my body, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is yours to be a kli for your neshama. And therefore, we become what's referred to in Kabbalah as a merkava, a chariot of Kvod Shemayim. Our entire existence becomes a chariot for Kvod Shemayim. If that's so then, Hashem aseh l'man shemecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I just want to do Kvod Shemayim for you. And then the possibilities are endless. And then we live forever. No, our bodies are not going to live forever. There are two givens in life, they say in America, death and taxes. Two givens. And we need to remind ourselves during Aseres Metshuva. In Israel, they say maybe there's only one, death. Taxes, not. We have to change that. We have to change that. We need a shul, right? We need to build a shul. Assuming that the taxes go for the right purposes. So that's our avodah and aseres me'tshuva. Ma'amik from etares tameim. Keep in mind what Rabbi Akiva said. When I was learning Hilchos Shabbos, and with this I conclude, there was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a world famous Talmud Chacham in Hilchos Shabbos. His name was Rav Shlomo Pearl. I'm sorry I couldn't think of a feminine example, but I'm sure some of the women, if you put your minds together, you'll be able to think of an example like this. Rav Shlomo Pearl passed away in his late 70s. I knew his son quite well. I was once listening to one of his shiurim, because there was some of you who are from New York might be familiar, there's a big controversy about the Erevin in New York. Rav Moshe Feinstein was machmir about not making an Erevin in New York, and I was learning Erevin at the time, and Rav Shlomo Pearl was one of the addresses. Rav David Feinstein doesn't speak very much publicly about this. Rav Shlomo Pearl was one of these famous addresses for almost every area in Hilchos Shabbos. And I turned on the cassette. I didn't know him well. And yeah, cassette, once upon a time. And Rabbi Pearl starts the shiur, and he said something that I'll never forget. He says, I want to tell you the history of this famous Hilchos Shabbos Kol that was his. He said, when I was 55 years old, I had worked, I didn't know this, he worked for the public school service, the public school system, and he was a teacher, and he retired early at age 55. He said, I looked into the mirror at age 55, and I saw an overweight Amoritz. And he said, I made two commitments to myself. One is that I'm going to run around the world. That's one. And the other commitment I said to myself is, and I don't know if he was allowed to do this, just to show you how passionately I feel about this. He said, I'm not going to try to become an expert in Kol HaTorah Kula, but at least in Hilchos Shabbos, I'm going to try to master Hilchos Shabbos. He ended up mastering the Sefer Shabbos, Erevin, and Beitzah. Not just Hilchos Shabbos, all of Hilchos Yom Tov and all of Hilchos Erevin. And I'm going to master it to the point that I'll be able to speak with all. I now have a good pension from the school system. I'm going to travel to Eretz Yisrael and to all places, to all Gedolim, and speak to them all the questions that I had in Hilchos Shabbos. When I knew Reb Shlomo Pearl, 20 years later, he was a world-famous thin expert on Hilchos Shabbos. 20 years later. And I'm not sure if it was mutter for him to say, not Kol HaTorah Kula. Maybe he did the right thing, obviously. It came out well. The point is that the moment in which an individual says to themselves, wait a second, I realized that I have a koach of yudke vavke, then I'm not bound to what society says who I could be and what I could be. My mother thinks about me this way, my siblings think of me that way. No, 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 no. That's being trapped into a timeline. Haneshama lach v'aguf shalach allows us to say asanu, not just simply asanu l'man shemecha, asay l'man shemecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to do it for Kvod Shamayim. Bezer Hashem, we should be zocha that this year should be a shnas chayim tov v'shalom, should be a gemar chasim tova. We should be zocha to be mekadesh shem shemayim. And not to assume what our potential is. To desire to be the mikveh shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it will be absolutely amazing what every single one of us could accomplish. And I daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the koach and the vision to be able to do that and be mekadesh shem shemayim. For those, I apologize for those who need to go. I did want to add some of the learning stuff for my Talmidim long distance, so I'm just going to do that. Maybe should we just press pause? For those who are interested, just on Shabbos Shuvah, when we discussed these topics, we added when discussing the Balatanya that says that when it comes to one's body, one can't be mochel. We pointed out that the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva describes chavala as well. And in Perek Aleph, he says that when one damages someone else's money or injures someone else, then one needs to do tshuva and one needs to say vidui. We contrasted that to the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Tes. There, the Rambam says that the requirement to ask mechila of another, of someone else, is when you're chovel them, you're gozel, and mekalel. It's interesting that the Rambam uses gzela, no mention of gneva, and he mentions mekalel, while in Perek Aleph he said that there's a requirement of vidui for mazik mamono and chovel bechavero. So on Shabbos, when we were discussing this with the Talmidim, what we pointed out is something amazing that I had heard from Reb Braunschweigel in the name of Reb Zalman Mivolozhin. Reb Zalman Mivolozhiner suggested that the Rambam is driving at the fact that there are two averos when it comes to Bein Adon L'Chavero. One avero of Bein Adon L'Chavero is towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us how to act, gave us a system of morality of how we're supposed to act. And if we don't respect another person,
either by hurting him or by damaging his money. So then in such a case, there would be a chiyuv to do tshuva, to do vidui. But the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Tes, there the Rambam is speaking about another component of Aver Ben Adal Chaver, and that's another chizuk for us towards the Yom Noraim, and that is that when it comes to Averos Ben Adal Chaver, there are two parts. One is towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other is vis-a-vis a fellow man. And on that part, so there's a requirement to ask Mechila, particularly when it comes to these three cases. Gozel. Now, Gozel is different than Gneva, because Gzela is an attack. It's a mugging, the Gemara tells us. In contrast to Gneva, that's done surreptitiously. So Rambam doesn't mention Gneva, because that is something that you could simply restore. Once you restore, there's no requirement to Mechila. So in Perek Aleph, you would need to do tshuva and vidui on it, but there's no need to ask mechila. Chavala is an attack on the other person. You're attacking his body. And that, of course, gets to the theme that we spoke about tonight, that when it comes to bodily harm, we are not the bailim of our guf. So chavala, gzela, and mekalel are all attacks on people. We pointed out on Shabbos afternoon that that's why the Rambam actually fits in beautifully this explanation of Zalman Velazhin with the order of Prakim Meseches Pavakama. The first six Prakim are Niske Mamon, the seventh is Gneva, Perek Meruba, the eighth is Perek Achovo, and then the ninth is Gzela. If I would have been ordering the Prakim, if I was Rabbi Hudasi, I'm not, thankfully, I would have ordered the Prakim, the first six being Niske Mamon, then put Chavala, that's bodily injury, and then put Gneva and Gzela together. But based on what we saw, that the Rambam teaches us that Gzela is closer to Chaval, because both of them are an attack on the personal autonomy, so then that makes sense that the first six Prakim are Niske Mamon, the seventh is Gneva, Hefsin Mamon, the eighth is Chavala, is damaging the body, and then we have Gzela connected to Chavala. So really, Prakim and Bava Kama are divided, the first seven are dealing with damages, in terms of damage of money, and then the next, is Chavala. By the way, this dovetails beautifully with the chiluk that Reb Chaim in his Sefer writes, that when it comes to this, Reb Chaim appears both in Chovel Mazik and well as in Hilchos Shavuos, that Tashlumei Chavala is different than Tashlumei Niske Mamon. Tashlumei Chavala is compensation, versus Niske Mamon is restoration. So once you restore the individual's object, so then there's no need to ask him for Mechila, as the Rambam had described Perek Aleph. However, when it comes to Perek Beis, when it comes to Chavala, there's a need to ask him Mechila, because it's an attack on the individual. With that, then we could ask, but what about if the individual is Mocha? The individual says, I'm not viewing it as an attack. So then the logic would say that should be acceptable. But that's why we needed to bring in the Baal HaTanya, who taught us, no, that there's another level over here. The Baal HaTanya taught us that we are not the Bailam on our guf, hence the drush that we had spoken about. So this is just an addendum, a footnote, for the halachic material to this approach towards tshuva. May we zelcha b'siyata d'shmaya to a gmar chsima tova and a shnas chayim tom v'shalom, being able to be a merkava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to internalize haneshamalach v'aguf shalach Hashem aseh l'man shemecha, that once we recognize that our bodies are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, we could be able to be a merkava for Kvod Shemayim.